This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am glad to be with all of you in this time of worship, whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. The Spirit of Christ keeps us connected. And we would love to hear from you that you're with us. So if you'll take a moment, if you're here in the sanctuary, to sign in on the registration pads, they should be at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again. And if you're worshiping online, there should be a link you can put into your browser to register that way. We have lots of ministries happening in the life of the church, lots of announcements, and I want to draw your attention to those in the bulletin. There are much more in detail in the bulletin, but I just want to highlight a few quick things coming up in the next couple of weeks. Next Saturday is our Trunk or Treat event from 4 to 6 here in the church parking lot. It's open to everybody and especially fun for children, so we hope you'll mark your calendars for that. Then on the next day, the following Sunday, at 4 o'clock, we have an organ concert. We'll be welcoming Scott Detra, who'll be playing the music of César Franck on that afternoon. The following Sunday, at 4:30, we have a concert with all of our adult choirs joining together, singing the Durafle Requiem. So that will be an All Saints concert and a great opportunity for us to be led in worship by our wonderful adult choirs. We are beginning a grief group, and there's some information about that in the bulletin. For those of you who have perhaps recently lost a loved one and would appreciate some time and a place and space to share that journey with others, we would want to share that with you and share those details with you in the bulletin. Finally, this morning, I just want to let you know that one of our liturgists this morning is the Reverend Dr. Derek Weber. He and his wife, LaDonna, have become part of the West End United Methodist Church family. He is the director of preaching ministries at Discipleship Ministries in the United Methodist Church, so I'm not intimidated at all. But he has graciously agreed to help lead worship, and we'll be hearing him preach in January, as he is the descendant of our founding pastor in 1870. So we look forward to welcoming Derek as part of our worship team this morning. We gather around another parable of Jesus this morning as we consider what it means to pray and to love one another.
Let us turn toward God this day. May we come before God in humility and repentance. Let us worship the one who is our hope and our help. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that our lives often reflect more pride than humility. We would rather compare ourselves to others and highlight our accomplishments than admit our shortcomings and our need. Forgive us, O Christ. Gently remind us that you are the source of our being. Help us to recognize the places where our pride and privilege separate us from others and from you. By your Spirit, teach us the way of humility, that we might draw from the deep wells of your mercy and grace. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. Here in the sanctuary, you may do that however you feel most comfortable. And if you're joining us online, we invite you to do so in the chat or with those around you in your home. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Mark and Sarah Morrison bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Welcome. My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Mark and Sarah, on behalf of the whole church, it's my privilege to ask you these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your child forward for baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
Do
you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you sat in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. So pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Everybody wants the fuzzy thing. And there it goes. And what name have you given your daughter?
Virginia Townley.
Virginia Townley. I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and comforts you and guides you all the days of your life. All right, Virginia, we're going to move back toward Mom and Dad, and all of us here are going to place a hand on you and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Virginia Townley, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, Miss Virginia, is it okay if we go for a little walk? I want you to see your church family up a little more closely. Yeah, you can come too if you want to. Get your big brothers with you. My family in Christ, this is our newest sister. The waters of baptism remain on her head as she looks out at you. And she is looking to you to show her what it means to follow Jesus. She's looking to you to understand what the love of God is all about and what life lived in God's love can be. I know some of you are going to teach her Sunday school and vacation Bible school and maybe be a confirmation mentor, youth counselor. So many different ways to show Virginia the love of God. So let's take a moment to make our promises to her and to her family.
Will the congregation please stand and face Virginia Townley? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Virginia Townley to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Virginia Townley, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, 9 to 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All the children who'd like to come forward and join me up here for a moment. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screen so we can share some special time together. I think we've got lots of kids here today with all our singers and worship leaders. Come on up. Great to see you all. I'm glad to see you wearing some warm sweaters. It's chilly in here, isn't it? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. What a great group we have. Come on up and have a seat. All right. Come on up, take a seat. My goodness gracious, I think we've broken a record today. This is so wonderful. Makes me so happy to see all of your faces, to know that we're here at church together. Well, there was a man who lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and he was a Christian. He was a follower of Jesus, and he was thinking about what it means to love God and love other people. And into his mind came this image of, well, this is my drawing. It's nowhere near as good, perhaps, as he might have drawn, but it's like a wheel, sort of, with God in the middle and all of us in a circle around God, that we all have our own relationship with God. And so this line is like our love for God. And he said, you know, if we draw closer to God, we also come closer to each other. All these points, as we get closer to God, we get closer and closer to each other. Or if we try and grow closer to other people, then that also brings us closer to God. You know, Jesus said the most important things are to love God and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when we are in relationship with God, it means we are just like everybody else, and we're called to love everybody. And the closer we get to God, the more like God we become, the more we're able to love everybody. Our story today is about two people who were really far apart. One of them especially tried to say he was really different from the other guy. But really, in God's eyes, they're just alike, and God loves them both just the same. Let's pray together. Gracious God, remind us that you love us so much. You love us unconditionally. You love us completely. We can't even measure how much you love us. And you love everyone else just the same. So help us to treat other people as you would have us treat them. Help us to love them too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. Okay, you know how it goes. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Stacy. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. Are you 4? Okay, you can go down that door with Pastor Maggie. Oh my goodness, there's so many wonderful things happening in worship today. I don't think I need to preach, y'all. I'll just take a few minutes to reflect on this short parable, but powerful parable. One of the things I appreciate about Luke, the writer of this gospel, is that sometimes he tells us something about a parable before we read it. He gives us a clue of what he thinks it's about. And I just love the way he introduces this parable. Jesus told this parable to those who considered themselves righteous and looked with others on with contempt. Yes! Jesus is going after those narrow-minded, self-righteous, judgmental people. I want to grab a bowl of popcorn and just listen to what Jesus says. Because there's nothing that bothers me more than judgmental Christians. Get on my nerves. So I want to jump right in. And, you know, we've seen this kind of spirit of judgmentalism. All you have to do is get in your car and drive around and look at some of the billboards or church signs that, you know, if you died tomorrow, do you know where you're going? One of my favorites that we saw a few years ago is dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. Dang, I'm not sure I want to, hey, let's go to that church and see how we fit in, how welcomed we are. So yeah, I'm ready. Let's see what Jesus has to say in this parable. So, we have this Pharisee. Well, already we know all about the Pharisees. I mean, we understand that the Pharisees were hypocrites, they were legalistic, they were judgmental, they thought they were better than everybody. And then we have a tax collector. We've seen over and over again in the Gospels, the tax collectors are really just rogues with, you know, golden hearts. They seem like the bad guys, but they're really the ones who get it. So let's see what these two guys do. They go to pray in the temple. And of course, the Pharisee stands up in front of everyone and says, I thank you, God, that I am not like. And he has this whole long list of all the people he's better than. And then there's the tax collector standing way off by himself. And he can't even look up to heaven. He's just throwing himself at the mercy of God. He recognizes his own sin, his own brokenness. He recognizes his need for God's mercy. And as the parable comes to a close, Jesus says, "Now, which one of these men went home justified? Which one of these men was made right with God? Which one of these men received God's mercy and grace?" And it's obvious. It wasn't the Pharisee, because the Pharisee left no room for God to justify him. The Pharisee spent his whole prayer justifying himself, making this long list of all the good things that he does. And there's no room for God's mercy, no room for God's love. The tax collector does nothing to promote himself. He admits he breaks himself wide open and names his need for God. And so he is the one who is filled by God's grace and justified and made right with God. So I come to the end of this parable and I think, boy, am I glad I am not like that Pharisee. Whoops. I think I came out at the wrong place. If we read this parable, if we get on the slide of this parable and we come out that way, we've ended up in the wrong place. And we've missed the whole point of the parable. If we come to the end of the parable and we think, boy, am I glad I am not self-righteous. Am I glad I am not judgmental like those people, like that Pharisee, then we got to go back to the beginning and take another jump into the parable. Because these parables are meant for me and they're meant for you. They're meant for all of us. So we have to try again. Perhaps one way to enter the parable is to take the guidance of Fred Craddock, who wrote one of the commentaries I read for this week. And he reminds us that for Jesus listeners, there is shock value to the Pharisee and the tax collector being examples in this story. For Jesus listeners, the Pharisees were examples of what faithful living looked like. We get in our minds that they were these two-dimensional, legalistic, judgmental, but they were complex. They were the closest to Jesus in theology, and that's one reason he engaged with them so often. They were considered the more open-minded, the leaders of the people. They were ones who were out in the synagogues, in the countrysides, teaching, believing that all people needed access to the scriptures. It didn't need to just be locked up in the temple in Jerusalem. And even this Pharisee was an example of a good life. He was fasting twice a week. He tithed. He was generous with what he had. He was praying. He was in the temple. It wasn't as if he was leading a dark life on the sides. He wasn't embezzling money. He wasn't having affairs over on the side. He was a good man, living a good life. And the tax collector, again, we are used to the tax collectors, and we'll meet one next week in Zacchaeus, being ones who saw Jesus for who he was and who followed Jesus. But in Jesus' day, they were not considered to be good people. Their very lives were offensive. They took advantage of their own people for greed. They collaborated with the Roman Empire to get money off of their own people. And this guy was probably one who had knocked on the doors of many of the people in Jesus' audience. And so for him to use these two as examples and to lift up the tax collector in the end was really shocking. And it invites us, I think, who are trying to follow Jesus and trying to live good lives, to consider the Pharisee. And is there perhaps a bit of the Pharisee in me? What is the problem with the Pharisee in this parable is not that he does all of these good things. That's wonderful. The problem is that he looks at his brother across the temple with contempt. He sees that his religious practice, his beliefs, everything that he clings to makes him better than the tax collector and makes him better than thieves and rogues and the whole list of people. And I think, is that true for me? I, for one, am very proud of the sign that we have outside of our church. I have it on my car as a bumper sticker that we announce to the world our belief that God loves everyone unconditionally. I believe that our understanding of the gospel is right. I wouldn't be up here if I didn't. The problem comes when I then look at my neighbor who may disagree with me or who may have a different understanding, and I think I'm better. And I wonder, deep down, do I think really God is just a little more pleased with me than God is with them? That I'm a little more in with God than they are? That God joins me in my, look at that church sign. If my goodness, if my theology, if my beliefs, if my religion separate me from my neighbor in any way, there's something wrong. What this parable calls us to is humility. Now, humility is not debasing ourselves. It's not going before God and saying, I'm a terrible worm. Humility, as the ancient Christian church has taught us, is right-sizing our understanding of ourselves before God. Understanding that we are deeply beloved by God. We are loved unconditionally, accepted as we are, welcomed by God, by God's grace, and not by our deserving. And no more or no less than anyone else. It's like the drawing I shared with the children. It actually comes from Dorotheus of Gaza, who lived centuries ago. And who taught us that the closer we draw to God, the closer we are meant to draw to one another. And what we see in this parable is two men standing very far apart. So what invitation I hear in this parable, among many others, is an invitation to the practice of proximity. That rather than separating ourselves from those with whom we disagree or whose lifestyle is different from ours or those we might not approve of, instead to draw close. It is so easy in our day just to surround ourselves in an echo chamber with people who look like we do, think like we do, vote like we do, are educated as we are, all of these things. And we get more and more entrenched and the gaps between us grow and the contempt grows. But our God calls us to recognize our oneness, our common humanity. And the best way for us to do that is to be near each other, to draw near to one another. When I was visiting Duke University a couple of weeks ago, I got to hear Brian Stevenson speak. He is the author of Just Mercy, the founder of the Innocence Project, has spent a lot of time working in prisons and on death row, and he talks a lot about proximity is what we need in our world right now. Drawing closer to those on the margins, to hear their stories, to learn what they struggle with and what their suffering is, so that we don't stand from a distance and try to decide what's best for the poor, but we know by relationship what the struggles are and what the solutions might be. It's easy to stand apart and throw pot shots at each other, but when we sit down at the table side by side and share and listen, we recognize our common humanity. So I wonder, what would have happened if the Pharisee had drawn a little bit closer to the tax collector? I don't think the tax collector had him in him in that moment to draw any closer to anyone else. But if part of the Pharisee's goodness had led him to compassion, to reach out and stand next to him, maybe both of them might have gone home changed.
Together as a body, proclaim the goodness of God and the family that we are becoming. So I invite you, as you are able, to stand in spirit and body, perhaps, as we share together in the statement of faith of the United Church of Canada, found on page 883 in the hymnals. And make note as we recite this how often we say the word we. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. We come together as this body to offer up to God all that we are and all that we have. So I invite you, as we come to our prayer time, to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. And if you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please, if you're online, follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates when they are passed in a few moments. But let us bring our whole selves to God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving, gracious God, sometimes when we come, we are so full of ourselves, we can hardly hear you. And we certainly can't see those around us. We are full of our goodness, of our righteousness, of our busyness, of our value. And so we ask, gracious God, that you peel us apart. Help us set ourselves aside so that we might see you, hear you, understand you. And we might see those around us, those in need, those who have something to offer, those who are full of your grace already, who might lead us and teach us if we would but open our eyes to see all the people. Sometimes, O God, when we come before you to pray, we are so empty. We are certain of our unworthiness and unable to put into words the groanings of our hearts, the sense of failure that weighs upon us. And so we ask, gracious God, in those moments that your Spirit might pour down upon us. Give us a sense of worth that comes from you and from our belonging to the family, to the body of Christ. Open our eyes, gracious God, to how to be good citizens of this nation and of your kingdom. As we come to another election time, gracious God, give us grace, give us peace, give us an urgency to use the gifts that we have been given, the power that we have, to resemble your kingdom in all that we do, in our choosing, in our hoping, in our praying, in our conversation. Let us be alive to your Spirit always. Loving God, there's so much need in this world, it overwhelms us at times. So give us grace and peace and the confidence that together we can respond, we can give, we can heal, we can lift up, we can touch other lives. Help us, in short, gracious God, be the church at all times and in all places with all people as Christ called us to be. And all of our prayers, the spoken ones and the unspoken ones, we lift up to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who taught us that whenever we gathered, we might pray this special prayer as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now our worship continues as we gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you who are joining us online are invited to give via the options that are listed there on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, the offering plates will be passed. Just draw attention to the usher and give what you can. We understand everyone has a different financial situation, but all of us have this desire to build God's kingdom, to give out of the abundance God has given us. So may we with joy give to the God who has been so generous with us.
Confite in Domino, in Cine Deo.
seated, and I'd like to invite those who are joining this morning to come forward. We have an extra large group this morning, which is wonderful. I'm going to introduce Betsy Parham first. She's right here. Betsy retired from the United Methodist Publishing House, where she worked for 20 years as a writer and editor for Vacation Bible School curriculum. Now she enjoys gardening and grandparenting, and she's transferring from First Baptist Church here in Nashville. Next are Sarah and Matt England. They have three children, Bing, who is 5 years old, Birdie is 4, and Cosmo, who is 6 months old. They're Alabama natives, and they live in Ashland City. They're transferring from Dalewood United Methodist Church. Next, Andrew Breeden. Andrew is an editor with The Upper Room. He's a native Middle Tennessean who is passionate about sustainability, and he spends a lot of time outdoors. He's transferring from Belle Meade United Methodist Church. And then we have the Picklesimers, Tish and Brian Picklesimer, and their two sons, Jackson, who's 8 years old, and Jimmy, who's 6 years old. Tish is a PE teacher and cross-country and basketball coach at Ensworth School, and Brian owns Picklesimer Home Inspections. They're transferring from Christ the King Catholic Church. Next, we have Soren Hessler and Jen Quigley. Soren and Jennifer are elders in the West Ohio Annual Conference, and they are serving in extension ministries here in Nashville at Vanderbilt Divinity School. Soren is the director of recruitment and admissions, and Jennifer is assistant professor of New Testament. Their home church is Payne St. Paul United Methodist Church in Payne, Ohio, and they're joining West End as affiliate members. And last but not least, Phyllis Mund. Phyllis is married to West End member Fred Mund. She and Fred were married here in West End's chapel in July of 2020 in masks. And Phyllis sings in the sanctuary choir and serves with Creative Hands, which is our prayer shawl ministry. She's transferring from the Church of the Nazarene in Florida. Now, Phyllis, Betsy, Tish, and Brian, this question is for you. As members of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. All right. Now for all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Wonderful. Friends, would you rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members? Family of God, Andrew, Matt, Sarah, Bing, Birdie, Cosmo, Soren, Jennifer, Phyllis, Betsy, Tish, Brian, Jackson, and Jimmy are now entrusted to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet these folks who just joined through the doors to our right following the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
as we prepare to leave this time of worship, if you're visiting with us, there will be some who return to their seats to listen to the final organ voluntary as a final act of hallelujah. Others will make their way on to Sunday school. We hope all of you will come and greet the new members. So do what you feel led to do. A reminder from this closing hymn that we are all leaning on the everlasting arms of God. We are all dependent on the love and mercy of God, and we are all in it together. So let us go as one body, as one people, out into this world to share that love and grace with all. Amen.